Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Charles and Light. Charles and Light. For the time being, but Charlton can play on here as Kyle has the ball. Bon over to the left hand side. Kyle finds him, and Bentley's coming out of his goal. And Bon's got past him. Bon with the charge. Yeah! Bon with the goal.
Oh, what a goal!
End to end stuff here at Ashton Gate. And Macaulay Bon gets another goal. Bentley, for whatever reason, came out of his goal. Bon gets there first, and with a tidy left footed finish. And end to end stuff, but Charlton have the lead.
That is quite incredible.
Cleared away by Solly. Out to a throw 10 yards away from the Charlton corner flag. Thrown in by Pereira. And this time it is Brownhill. Gets it into the box. Attempted flick header, and Deju's there. And he's equalised for Bristol. Charlton looking for an offside. Possibly even a handball, but nothing given.
Well, it's going to take some of his scrappies to get back in the game. And my word, this is one of the scrappiest goals you'll see all season.
Up against Pierce. Pierce stays strong, gets something on it. And then he's been kicked all over the place. What's that from Deju? He's just swiped at Pierce on the floor. That can't be allowed, surely.
He's coming over to Deju now.
It's a red. Had to be. Absolutely had to be. Chip ball looking for a Rodri. That's got to be a foul on Pierce. Nothing given.
Has to be a Charlton foul. Rodri's looking at Pierce as he jumps in.
And he's found his way to Palmer. Tries to find Rodri again. Does so. He's got Lockyer behind him on this occasion. Forcing him backwards. Palmer. Palmer chip ball into the box. Brownhill's in there. Takes a touch. And scores.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Forcing him out wide. The corner flag, and there's the final whistle. And a sickening blow for the addicts.
So it does not get any easier on second listening. Good evening, welcome to Charlton Live. We're coming to you live from the Valley, not in the Charlton Live studio this evening. We're actually in the Trust office because the studio is being used. So bit slightly unusual circumstances for us this evening, but I hope you're getting ready to enjoy the show. On tonight's big match preview, we'll be looking back at last night's horrible, horrible defeat at Ashton Gate against Bristol City. And of course, looking ahead to Saturday's trip to West Bromwich Albion. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining us in this room is over on my left-hand side, Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, yeah. Especially if I've got a beautiful man next to me, yeah, as well as you, Lou, as well as you.
Yeah, a man who needs absolutely no introduction, but I'm going to have to give him one, otherwise no one will know who he is. A special guest inside the studio, Valley Pass commentator, is Mr. Greg Stubbley. How are you doing, Stubbers?
I'm doing well, mate. It's very nice to be back. I was going to say nice to be back in the studio, but it's nice to be back somewhere in a... what, ticket office?
We're sort of out the back of the ticket office. So basically, the studio, the Trust have set up something with a live band this evening in the studio, in the room next to the studio. So thought, that's going to be too loud, so we're using the spare room. So, yeah, we're getting used to our surroundings. But, yeah, I mean, we've got to talk about last night's defeat at Ashton Gate. And I think, Nathan, you summed it up quite nicely when you sent a text message to the to the little group chat that me, and just as a favour to everyone, because I know everyone would want to hear what the text message said.
Do you want me to?
No. I've done it for you.
Oh, have you?
I put it into a text to speech little contraption. So let's have a listen to what Nathan's reaction was when that goal went in.
Absolute filthy.
You didn't. I mean, Nathan sort of summed up how we all felt about that.
I can't believe you just done that.
I mean,
it's got too much time, isn't it?
Stubbers, you were there, and they battled. They played some lovely football at times. Against everything went against them, with injuries, with insane amounts of added time. We got to 97 minutes in. We thought we'd done enough for a point, and then a lapse of concentration, and Brownhill goes through on goal and scores. And Nathan summed it up nicely.
Yeah, I thought Nathan summed that perfectly. I mean, that's probably one of the things about doing commentary that you can't do is react the way Nathan did, and that's sometimes a shame, I must be honest. But yeah, I actually thought you summed it up perfectly what you said there. I think when you look at the game as a whole, any team that comes away from home that has injury problems going into the match and then loses two players in the first 30 minutes and still should have come away with something is a huge testament in itself. I think had we not had those injuries in the first half, I know that's very, you know, had very much looking at it in hindsight, but had we not had those two injuries, I think we would have gone on and won. I really do. Mm. I think the first 30 minutes up until those injuries, Bristol City looked fairly good going forward, but I thought defensively they did look a mess. And I think, especially with the early chances we had in the second half, I thought that showed. The real shame was obviously not just coming away with nothing, but it's also this ever-growing injury list, which we can't seem to shake off, not just this season, but the last few seasons. And in the past, it's been a case of, okay, we've not had the bodies to come in and replace them. This year, we do. And yet, at the same time, they're still picking up these niggling injuries that we can't do anything about. I mean, Field's challenge yesterday was so innocuous. It was just a clash of knees, if that.
It's almost the way they fell into each other after the challenge. I mean, yeah, I mean, we haven't even mentioned yet, and we will talk about it on this evening show. I mean, Johnny Williams is now going to be out for 2 months, which is just another disaster that gets added onto the list. And we saw Sam Field and Jake Forster-Caskey both limping out of yesterday's games. They both look like bad injuries. Saw Sam Field leaving in a knee brace after the game. Forster-Caskey has a hamstring injury, which always are at least a few weeks, and he's been so unlucky with injuries himself over the course of the last couple of years. I mean, before that Sam Field injury, the first, what was that, 25 minutes, half an hour?
Yeah.
I mean, we were so in control of that game, and we were enjoying the majority of the possession. You know, I'm not saying this through rose-tinted glasses. I mean, last night there was a full BBC commentary team there.
Yeah.
Andy Rowley and Leroy Rossignol. And Leroy Rossignol, I think, played three games on loan for Charlton, but he's no major Charlton fan or anything like that. Sure. He's there as a neutral. And he was lauding how well Charlton were playing in that first half, and then how they reacted at the start of the second half as well. And yeah, the game got open, but we were giving as good as we were getting. And once we took the lead, I genuinely thought we're going to go on and win this game.
Yeah, I think the game being open actually, I think, suits us weirdly. I think as a back four, we are generally quite solid, or back five at times, we're generally quite solid. And we have the pace on the counter-attack and the box-to-box midfielders such as Gallagher and Cullen to cope with that. And I think that kind of suits us as a team. But I totally agree with you. I think largely in the first half was fairly even. I thought as an away side, we dominated the ball a lot better, played a lot better with it. Probably didn't create too much in the first half, but certainly I went in at half time just thinking, you know, we just need to settle into this game. With those injuries now, we've got the players to replace them, let's just settle in this game. And second half we went for it, and you know, that's what Lee Bowie is about, that's what his side's about, that's what happened at Wembley. We could have settled to go to extra time and play Sunderland then, but we didn't know, we're going to go for it. And you know, Bowie had made a bold decision to bring on Chucks and Ike late on in the game as well, and it was clear we sensed that the game was there for the taking. I mean, given what happened, there's going to be a lot of, oh, we should have done this, should have done that. But ultimately, anyone who was there would have told you that game, one, we shouldn't. You're right there.
No. It was NHS call centre through there, no?
Yeah. We'll take you to A&E if you want, mate. We'll pause the show. But yeah, I mean, one, that we, I mean, a lot of people say we should have come away with something. There'd be those who say we should have come away with all 3 points.
Yeah, well, going into that added time, I remember thinking, well, if we're going to see this out, I am actually going to be genuinely disappointed that we haven't won it. Because, yeah. I mean, the chance that we had at the start of that second half in particular, you know, Macaulay Bonn had that effort where he cut in from the left-hand side and fired one that went just wide. And I mean, once you take the lead, I mean, let's talk about the goal first, because it was a first start for Kaio and he was heavily involved in the ball. But I mean, what on earth was that? Bristol City goalkeeper thinking comes herring off his line. There's absolutely no need to do it. No. But you give Macaulay Bon a sniff and he's going to take it, because that was a really difficult angle for him to put the ball in from, and he still managed to do it.
The thing I was most impressed with, I don't know how you guys felt, but the thing I was most impressed with that was watching it live at the time. My first reaction is, why is he not going in for the challenge? It looked like he was backing out of the challenge, and I thought he was just expecting the goalkeeper to go and clear it. However, when you watch on the replay and obviously what happened next, you just see he's actually a little bit clever. He waits for the goalkeeper to dive towards him, and then he just dinks it past him. He just calmly touches it past him. And for me, that's a sign of a striker, not only confidence, but a striker who's capable of scoring goals at this level. It's a player who's got a lot of maturity, and it's, for me, only getting better and better. And that was no easy goal. I mean, like you said, what on earth was a goalkeeper doing in the first place? I don't think anyone was available in the box. Bond was fair. It was wide. There was Bristol City defenders on the cover. I just think the goalkeeper just thought he was just going to skid off the turf and he was going to be able to clear it. But fair play to Bond. It was a weaker left foot as well. You've got to remember that. It wasn't an easy finish. It was weaker foot, and he just managed to get in the net. And that just came off the back of two unbelievable sitters from Bristol City down the other end, which we were sort of saying, oh, how on earth have we got away with that? And down the other end, Bond goes and scores. So it was a crazy passage of football, that.
Yeah, and it was so exciting as well. I mean, the game as a whole in the second half, I think, was really, I mean, in terms of excitement, and maybe not quite quality, but in terms of excitement, it was up there with the Fulham game, in my opinion. I mean, if you look at the goals we conceded then, Nathan, I mean, you've seen it on highlights. I mean, the first one, the only main... perhaps where we could have done better is the fact that what led to the throw that led to the goal was actually that the ball fell to Solly inside the air, and now he's put it straight out for a throw. But you can see watching back the highlights, he turned around and said, well, no one's giving me a shout, because he had so much time in the penalty box there. If someone had given him a shout, time, he would have controlled that and played it out, and we wouldn't have conceded the throw. But then obviously, you know, I think Pearcey's just been beaten to the header, and then it's looped up and it's Deju who's managed to nod it beyond Dylan there. And it's just, everyone's just going to look, oh, if he just got there before that, or if he just knew to deal with that ball, we would have got away with that one.
Yeah, it's a difficult one really, because obviously Souls was on the bench and he came on, didn't he? And but yeah, like you say, the communication is quite uncharacteristic, because we're usually quite solid, usually really organised in a back line, and it was disappointing to see it. But you know, it does happen sometimes. But then when that happened, I thought that the impetus was going to be with Bristol, and when I was listening to Tel and Greg, it didn't actually seem that way. It seemed like we got a sort of foothold back in the game. But yeah, it was disappointing, but you know, it happens. And like Bo said in there, which probably a year later is, you know, we just got to learn from it really, and just tighten up for Saturday, because it'll be another tricky one. Yeah.
Just on that equaliser, one of the things as well that perhaps wasn't spotted was when Solly cleared it, Chant were just trying to reorganise. They actually went to change shape, and I think they were going five across midfield, or there was certainly an indication from the bench that there was five or something, maybe five at the back. Prattley dropped in, so it could have been that. So if you watch the goal back, when I don't know who crossed it in, it might have been Brownhill, but when he picks it up, he's in acres of space. That's because Chant were actually trying to reorganise, and Bristol City managed to get the throw quickly, get the ball quickly back to the throw and taker. So it's so unfortunate that happens, and we're just trying to reorganise, just trying to change our shape, and then the eventual ball comes in.
I mean, now we'll talk about the red card in a minute, but the winning goal, I mean, yeah, not much to talk about there really. But the winning goal, when it came down to it, I mean, the disappointing thing about that is 30 seconds earlier, but I guess it shows that we were going to try and win the game. It's 30 seconds earlier, Conor Gallagher had the ball in the penalty area down the other end, and he was clearly trying to make something happen. It didn't come off for him. Now, some people say, well, you know, I would have taken a point. But at the same time, if he had gone to the corner at 1-1 against 10 men, I can guarantee we've had people arguing about that. So it's gone down the other end, and again, it just looks like, you know, we haven't been able to stop the long ball in, and then all of a sudden Brownhill's on the wrong side of the defence. And I mean, you're disappointed to be beaten by a long ball over the top at any time, but a tiring defence after what's been a real battle. We're into the 98th minute of the game. We'd already had, what, 5-6 minutes of added time in the first half, so we'd played a hell of a lot of time there. The players were out on their feet, and it's just a lapse of concentration, and all that good work that they'd done throughout the 90 minutes was just wiped out in one absolutely agonising second.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the original throw, which went to Gallagher, again, it's that mentality of this Charlton team. They want to go for the win, so I'm with you. You can't really blame them for trying that. And he was actually really unlucky. He got the ball back three or four times and he had about six bodies around him. I actually initially thought when that clearance came in, it went up to Rodri. And Rodri looked as he went into the challenge with Pierce. And I know referees are supposed to give a free kick when you jump and you're looking at the defender and you're not playing for the ball. And I was fuming at the time, thinking that was an obvious foul that went against us. I know that was there was still a lot of football after that. The ball went back to Palmer, then switched it across. But it's those little fine margins that went against us last night. And it's that little bit of quality as well from Palmer just to get his head up. I mean, that ball was outstanding. It was best pass of the night. The touch from Brownhill I initially thought was outstanding, but watching it back on the replay, he gets slightly lucky actually. He sort of, as he toes it to himself, it sort of hits his chest and comes down nicely. I mean, any other time it could have gone up in the air, it could have gone down and trickled away. It's a great finish.
It's just one of those games, wasn't it, of fine margins. Yeah. I mean you look at other chances where we could have had a second goal or had scored before. Yeah. So we've already talked about Bond's chance sort of at the start of the second half. I mean, there was one very early in the game where it was a deep cross where Gallagher, I don't know if he was caught in two minds whether to go for goal with a header or play it back across, and then that effort from Darren Prattley. I mean, if he just put it ever so slightly more towards the corner when the goalkeeper had mishit it out to him, it was a glorious hit volley from Prattley, and the keeper's, in fairness to him, done well to atone for his error. I mean, it was just fine margins all night. And like I say, another night, Bristol City would have scored that open goal they had, or Dylan Phillips wouldn't have pulled off one of the two or three great saves that he made. We just had an email in actually from John in Hastings. He said, "It's great to discover you again after some 20-odd years listening to you last on the radio when I lived in London." That would have been the previous Charlton Live or the Charlton Chat shows before our time, but yeah, we're sort of still the same thing, I think. It seems to me that the amount of extra time added on to the end of a game, whether we are either defending a lead or a draw, is becoming more and more excessive. On average, 5 minutes, and with this latest game last night being 8+ minutes. What are your thoughts on this? Keep up the great work, avid listener now, and look forward to every broadcast. That's from John in Hastings. Yeah, cheers for your email, John. Yeah, I mean, it partly goes to show that because we get so many injuries, there is a lot of injury time. I mean, I saw a few people asking about that 2 extra minutes because 6 was originally shown, but in that time, I mean, Enike and it was Brownhill, wasn't it? The scorer had a clash of heads that saw them both on the floor for a while, and obviously then there was the goal after that as well. So, I mean, that game just never seemed to want to end. I mean, I assumed once those two players had gone down with a head injury, I assumed, Nathan, that the game would just sort of ease out there, and that's probably why it was so painful, because you thought we'd got the point that we. At minimum deserved.
Yeah, did Deals get booked for time wasting?
Yeah, Deals.
So I don't know. See, I don't know.
That was harsh though.
Because if you're a ref, if you put 6 minutes and then, you know, you time waste, I do wonder if they'll go, I'll tell you what, my watch is going, but I'm going to add a little bit more one.
Yeah.
Just for the liberty.
Dylan got booked for time wasting 5 minutes from the end, so that wouldn't be included.
Yeah. But that's what I mean, yeah. Obviously, the injuries.
And EK and Bond were both booked for time wasting during the game though. So,
yeah.
During the added time.
That's what I mean. So I don't. Maybe a ref does do that, but it is quite frustrating when you see 6 minutes and then 90+8 goal goes in. Well, it's not when it's you, but when it's the other way around. Yeah. But it's frustrating.
Yeah, when 6 minutes went out, I mean, put it this way: we had two serious injuries that took some time in the first half, and only 5 minutes were added on, and that took some time in the first half. So my initial reaction was going to be it's going to be another 5 minutes, and you're right, we had three players booked for time wasting. Dylan's was very harsh, I thought. Bond's perhaps was justified. And then EK got booked on the basis that Johnson saw him kick the ball away, and Johnson basically ran on the pitch almost and was screaming at the referee, which Tell in particular on commentary with me did not appreciate. But I thought it was harsh to go 6.
Because like, usually they'll say, like, refs will, sometimes they might add 20 or 30 seconds per sub, right?
Yeah,
but we had two in the first half.
Yeah.
So then that can't be. That's why when I was listening, when you said 6, I was trying to think maybe the clash of heads and maybe I just lost track of time. But it wasn't 4 minutes, was it, there on the floor?
Well, but also you had the red card, which I suppose they'll try and use. But the red card was pretty much solved within a minute. It didn't take that long. He went over to the linesman, and it was actually the linesman who spotted the kick. So I don't even know if the referee spotted himself. But yeah, overall, I thought it'd be 5 minutes. So I thought 6 was harsh. And then the clash of heads obviously took it to the 8th minute. And again, but this is the thing.
We'll get them now.
This is the way football works. You know, we'll get an 90th minute winner, and we'll get something similar in our situation. I'm sure
4 seconds from the end at Wembley or something.
Something
like that.
What I'm trying to take is in terms of positives from last night, and there were plenty, and that's why I found a little bit surprising some of the way some of the messages I've seen after the show. I mean, we've even got one in tonight, and you know, I mean, James, who we know well, came on a bike ride with us. He said it wasn't good enough last night. We allowed the game to be open, but we are still doing great overall and need to get behind the boys on Saturday for a tough game at West Brom. We missed Williams last night as an outlet chance for some others to step up and stake a claim for a regular place. Again, when I put last night on Twitter at full time that I thought, you know, the Addicts could hold their heads high after a dogged and actually not. It's not like we just went there and we were just difficult to beat. We went out, we played some great stuff, some really nice stuff at times. I mean, the goal was a great move. There were some lovely passing moves in the first half. There was some good moves in the second half that led to chances. I mean, we haven't even talked about the one where I think Gallagher squared it back for Bonn, and his shot was charged down. Not long after he'd scored, it was a 1-1 as well that was charged down. I mean, we created chances last night. We didn't take them. That's the main problem that you can come out from last night, and then the lapses of concentration from the defence, from the goals we conceded.
Yeah, I was surprised, to be honest, when I saw the reaction. Of course, I get the frustration to begin with to concede in the last minute. I mean, you only heard Nate's reaction earlier as to what it felt like to be and what it felt like to be there as well with the fans and the manager proper giving it some, which is a little bit bizarre for me. But anyway, I couldn't understand this, the questioning of work rate or effort, because we've got to remember the situation we're in right now. And to be honest, we are in as a club still. You know, at the start of the season with what we had and what we had to bring in, we're bringing in players who are very, very young. You know, Lecco himself is only 20. You know, Gallagher's 19. We've got to remember these things as well. And then you're bringing on Darren Pratley and Chris Solly, who, to be honest, needed the rest. Solly, you know, with his knees, is not really someone who wants to play Saturday, Wednesday or Saturday, Tuesday, whatever it is. And he's coming on and starting out of position at left back, trying to get his team over the line. And you've got Darren Pratley, who's probably been my player of the year so far. Or at least one of many, who again could probably do with the rest, but you see him in the 90th minute still charging down, still pressing, still working hard again, coming into the back three. You've got Macaulay Bonn, who's had to be patient for his chances, and he's still working hard up top come the end of the game. And you can only see the frustration and the comments on Twitter from the players and managers as well. That this is a squad that you can't fault the work rate, and you can't fault that performance yesterday.
I don't know if there is differences between, and I don't normally say this because I think it's a fair thing if you watch the game on TV that you tend to get a good view of what happened. Yeah. But more so, the people who I knew were at the game last night, they certainly seem more positive about it. Albert Rossi's just tweeted in saying, "Lou, I was at the game last night. I got to say, we don't fear anyone in this league. Come on, you Reds." Yeah. And we didn't play with any fear yesterday, and that was one of the. I mean, so many things went against them yesterday. But anyone who was there, I mean, after the game, it took us 2 hours to get out of there because it's a lot of work to do after the game in terms of typing up about a bloody injury list. But I finally got into the pub after, and normally after 2 hours, my mates would have calmed down a bit. But my mate Ben, who comes on a show now, he was just devastated. He could hardly speak. He felt so hard done by that we didn't come away with anything from that game. Now, let's talk about that red card, Nath. I've played football with you, and I've seen you putting it through meaty challenges. But, I mean, you know a red card when you see one, and that dead you there. I mean, Pearcey's gone in for a fair challenge, won a free kick. He sort of sat on the ball, and the lads kicked him two or three times. Mm-hmm. And how, apparently, according to Rich Caller, I haven't actually seen the majority of Lee Johnson's post-match comments. I've only seen one bit, which we'll talk about in a sec. But apparently Lee Johnson reckons it's not a red card.
Yeah, no, because he was saying that the ref didn't see it, and apparently the fourth official was going red, 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 really like.
Well, I hate to break it to Lee Johnson, but he's part of the officiating team. And so is the line.
The last kick. Like the first two, I looked at it. I was like, all right, you know, maybe he's going for the ball. That last one where he's just launched it, and you could tell. The third one was the worst because you had Gallagher, Souls and Pratley go mad. And people don't do that unless you know people are taking liberties.
And also, you actually watch that back and look at the Bristol City players. I think even some of them are like, whoa, mate.
Right, calm it down, mate.
Yeah. Right, that's enough.
Who weed on your cornflakes, mate?
I think he might have got away with it with the first kick. Yeah. The second one was like, oh, come on, mate. And then the third one was like, what are you doing? So, yeah, I thought it was an easy red card.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting if they appealed that, it'd be banal.
Surely not. It's an easy decision for the referee to make. Elliot, I just realised Elliot tweeted in just before the show saying, please make Please don't make me think about last night. Can't you just talk about the playoff final for 90 minutes?
Enjoy that, mate.
That's why you tried to bring me on.
Yeah. Ev James says, we didn't punish Bristol City. We had long periods of dominance, but on the opportunities we had, we wasted. Prattley was so unlucky. I'm so frustrated with Lecco, but he's okay. I think we'll get a great result with West Brom. We're a good side, and we march on. So let's talk about Lecco, because I mean, I noticed he was one of the players who got a lot of comments last night. I mean, towards the end, he was gone. And I said it like, physically, I was probably a good thing he can't play on Saturday against his parent club, because he was knackered and he was blowing and his energy had gone. I mean, decision-making, obviously, with Lecco is something that we talk about a lot. And I think last night, obviously, there was a few instances where he didn't get it right. But I still think there was times when he ran with the ball and helped to create chances. So I get he's a hit-and-miss player, but he certainly seems to be one that has riled up a lot of fans recently.
But he's your bog-standard championship winger or championship winger striker. Like, you're going to get players like that. And Bowyer was quite open in saying that when he signed him on loan. He said, you know, this is going to be a player who's going to... he's going to flatter at times, he's going to win you matches, but he's also going to be a player that's going to frustrate you. Because of the injuries we've had to play him a lot more than I think we were perhaps planning to. I think he was going to be a player who's going to start in certain matches and then be a bit more impactful off the bench. But there's certain games this season where he's dominated and been outstanding. I think Reading away, he was great, got the goal and was excellent. They couldn't deal with him. But yeah, I mean, there's been games this season where you have seen that decision making come at its worst. Really, I think yesterday was an example. As you said, he was tired, but the second half he made some good runs and then would cut back or then get it onto his right foot and he's got three or four bodies. But this is why he's on loan. This is why he's come away from West Brom, because they know there's a player there and they've gone, right, we're going to send you, get first team football. And, you know, this is a player who this season will be important for us and deserves all the support we can get. And, yeah, we're going to be frustrated by him and we're going to have times where we're not going to think he's good enough. But there are going to be these games where he's going to take the game by a scruff of his neck and we're going to go, actually, there's a decent player there.
I think, like, Bo's already said when we signed him, didn't he? He said he was, like, what, a maverick or a wild card?
Wild card,
what he said. And I think that you do need those now and again. You do need someone who... I think, was it the Brentford game where he played? Was he the one who crossed it in for Taylor for Brentford? Or?
Forest.
So, like, games like that he can, but he reminds me, you remember, like, Lloyd Sam?
Yeah,
he'll do one amazing game. And
Callum Harriott.
But that's what wingers are like. You're never going to really get, how many consistent wingers in the world do you have?
No,
if you're a consistent winger, you play in the Premier League week in, week out.
For me, it's the biggest thing with wingers is, do they work hard? And I think Lecco does, personally. I think defensively he does get caught out at times when he is tracking
just
back.
His he's reading the game, isn't he?
He's 20. He's 20. You know,
what was I doing at 20?
Oh, God.
You don't want to know.
That's a chum life after... after dark.
Paul Griffiths says, come on everyone, calm down. We were unlucky to lose that game. Remember, people on Twitter, where we have been for the past few years and where we are now. Keep the faith in the team and in Lee Bowyer. Right, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's devastating defeat at Bristol City. I caught up with the Addicts manager after the game and he said he cannot believe that his side came back from that one empty-handed.
I thought we deserved to win. Come away with nothing is hard for the lads, you know. Again, I can't fault them. Like, they give everything. I thought we was a better side, especially for 70 minutes, 75 minutes. They changed their shape. They matched us up and went to the diamond. And even then, I thought we were still better than them. But we have to... I said to the lads there, like, we have to learn from this, because... we have to be more ruthless. The amount of chances we had first half, or got into so many good areas, and we just didn't punish them. And they're a good side, you know. So I thought we held our own today. For me, I thought we was better than them. Obviously, they're going to have chances. They're at home. They're going to create chances. Dill makes a couple of good saves, but so did their keeper. He made more good saves, I thought. So it's come away with nothing. Gutted, you know.
It just seems that everything was going against your side, with two injuries in the first half and having gone into the lead and then Bristol City getting back into it. You must be proud, at least, of the character that those players were still out on the pitch show this evening.
But I know I've got that. They give me that every single day in training, and every time they step onto the pitch, they're a great bunch, you know. So I feel from today, the problem is we're rapidly running out of numbers. Johnny Williams not good, had to have an operation yesterday on his knee. Sam's not looking good there. That ain't looking like a good one either. We're running out of bodies for sure.
You mentioned that injury to Williams. I mean, it's early stage, obviously, if he's only just had the operation, but are you looking at a number of weeks out, months, days? Or?
It'd be minimum, I think, of a couple of months. So it's minimum 8 weeks. I had the operation yesterday, so we'll see how long. And then, obviously, we've got to get him fit. So, yeah. Disappointing because he's been doing really well for us, Johnny. He's been flying, and so yeah, it's tough for us. It's tough for us at the moment. And again, if we win today, we could have gone what joint second, I think. It's something like for the lads. I'm so proud of them. We deserve something from today's game, and to come away from nothing with the that's why we've got to learn from this. In this league, this is what happens, you know. If you don't take your chances when you create them, then you always give the others an opportunity to come back into it, and that's what happened.
You mentioned Sam. Sounds like it could be quite bad. What about Jake as well? He had to come off in the first half, already playing out of position, and now you're going to have to chop and change again.
Yeah, hamstring, Jake. So it can be a few weeks, I guess. Yeah, we just can't get a break at the minute, you know. But it is what it is. We keep battling on, and most important thing now is our recovery, because we ain't got long. Obviously, West Brom played yesterday, so they've got an extra 24 hours recovery than us, and that's going to be tough to go there, you know. So most important thing is the recovery and get ourselves ready for Saturday.
And missing another body, of course, and Leke can't play against his parent club. But, I mean, looking at the positives tonight, you talked about some of the football that Charlton played and carved them open. Another great goal from Macaulay Bond, and you can show that even with everything going against your side, they can still go out there and play.
Yeah. Like I said to him before the game, like, be brave. We played the Diamond today, and I said to him, like, be brave. You're going to have to be brave, and if you move it quick, then we will create chances, and that's what we've done. The problem was that we didn't bloody take the chances, and we didn't pick the right pass at the right time. So, no, decision-making let us down today.
And there was a nasty incident that's led to the red card for the Bristol City player. It looks like Jason Pearce took a nasty kick while he was on the floor there. Did you have a view on what happened from where you were up in your lofty position?
No, it's very high up there. I didn't see what happened. Yes, it's not my player, so... Yep, red card and he's gone, so that's... I couldn't see from where I was.
Desperately scrambling around for some good news on the injury front. Lyle Taylor's been vocal on Twitter the last couple of days saying he seems to have some sort of news from a specialist or something. Can you add any more to that yet?
I think Lyle can start... Well, he's come out of the brace, so then now I think we can start maybe doing a bit of work with him, but obviously he's still way off yet. So, again, there's still more, like, weeks away, so... I think he's just excited to take that brace off. I think he's been driving him mad.
And you mentioned the game coming up at West Brom on Saturday. You know, we know they're an excellent team in this division, but we saw what Barnsley did last night. They went there and played well at the start of the game and got a decent 2-0 lead in the end. And you know, you try and take some heart from the fact that Charlton have gone and played bigger teams this year as well and got results as well.
Yeah, obviously we'll go there and we'll try. I know the players will give me everything. I have no doubt whatsoever. So they've got strengths, they've got weaknesses, and so have we. So I would have liked the extra 24 hours recovery. But like I said, we couldn't change that. So we'll go there and we'll give everything. I have no doubt.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it all!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero! Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back to Charlton Live here, the big match preview coming to you live on your Thursday evening or via the podcast afterwards. I just realised we've got a superstar, the man who said, we've done it, oh, we've done it, oh, chill, we could have done it, we chill. Do it again, Stubbers.
No.
Dreamland!
I'll do it when we get to Wembley this year. Yeah. We get a 96th minute winner against Bristol City.
Lovely stuff, yeah.
And then we can do the same to the old media crew as well.
So if we were to get a 96th minute winner against Bristol City, do you think that would be better than... right, so Bristol City Twitter last night put out an interview with Lee Johnson after the game, and it has the most bizarre ending. And it basically is, it's fully a chat about a game of football. And at the end, the guy just went, you know, you said it was exciting. Was it better than sex? And then Lee Johnson just looked at him like he was an absolute mentalist, which he is for asking that question of a football manager.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I mean, Louis, you're someone who interviews Bowie every week.
Imagine Bowie in his face if he said that to Bowie. Yeah. Louis would not have normal eyes. He'd have one hanging off the side of his head.
I'd get it if he asked it to Carol, but like...
Carol who? Oh, Carol Fry. Yeah, cool. Sure. I was like, who's Carol? I was like, hey. Like Carol Fry. Oh, yeah,
there we go, right.
And that Ferris was at Bristol City, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, no one knows about that. Adam Ferris messaged in, I really hope that the Bristol City manager gets a similar ban to Boya, seeing him constantly outside his technical area shouting in the faces of the officials, waving imaginary yellow cards. No wonder he got his way with the ridiculous 6 minutes of added time. So frustrating, as the boys played so well with two injuries in the first 30 minutes away from home after a Saturday turnaround. Only slight disappointment I felt was Enike, who I felt didn't do enough when he came on. So many positives to take into the next game. Well, considering the injury crisis we're in at the moment, I mean, there's probably a fair chance that Enike will get a start on Saturday. What did you make of his sort of cameo last night?
He didn't really have... The problem with Enike is his biggest strength is the ball at his feet. When it's not at his feet, he's not the best at tracking back. And he'll be the first to tell you, he's probably not the best at tracking back. He's not a tackler. He's not someone who wants it towards his head. He doesn't want to, you know, he's a tall lad, but he doesn't want to compete for headers. He wants the ball at his feet, the ability to run with the ball at defenders. And when you come on as a sub, you sometimes get those opportunities and you sometimes don't. When he came on against Reading, the game was so open that the space was there for him to bring the ball forward for Charlton, and he was superb. Stoke as well at home, he was excellent, got his goal. But we've seen the best and the worst of him so far this season. It's, again, he's another one a bit like Lecco's. It's just you're seeing a bit of inconsistency and you're automatically changing your opinion of him game by game. Will he start against West Brom? I don't know how fit is he. I don't know.
Because the only thing is, Hemed's not there. Lecco can't play. I mean, Bon will obviously start, and Bon's looking good. But I mean, will we have a number 10 role? Osthuma's the other one, I guess. But
I just wonder if we'll be a little bit defensive to start with. Maybe line up with have Saar, Pierce, Lockyer as your three centre halves, and then have Prattley just in front of them. You could have a really defensive formation. The biggest problem we've got on Saturday for me is left back. I mean, or left wing back. I mean, there's talks that Alfie Doherty is being recalled. Is that because we need him to start? Is that because we want him on the bench? There's got to be a reason for that. You know, if we are going to play
four at the back? Does Chris Solly play left back? Do you move Deji Oshalaja across? But, you know, they've played a lot of football. Deji hasn't played a lot of football. You know, how's he going to recover? Chris Solly has played a lot of football. How's he going to recover from Wednesday night playing again? You know, there's a lot of questions there.
For me, the problem with Chuck starting is if he does start, with McCauley, you look at the bench. I mean, Josh Davison was there yesterday. Who have we got to change a game? If we've got to chase it. If we're 1-0 down, 20 minutes to go, we haven't got that little bit of impetus. Whereas if you like do what Greg's saying, go a little bit more defensive, try and...
Maybe then that is going to be Aaron or Chucks and Ike could come off the bench. Yeah. I mean, we need to talk about the injury crisis. I mean, we haven't really mentioned Johnny Williams too much, but, you know, rumour was going around last night on Facebook and before the game, and then obviously... until anything's official from Bowyer, we're not going to come out and say, oh, Johnny Williams is definitely out. But then Bowyer did come out and say it last night, 2 months minimum. You heard it on the interview there. I mean, what a blow, because he's just gone from strength to strength. You know, leading the championship assist table at least one point this season. He was playing so well on Saturday against Derby before the injury. And then, again, it's another one that seems so innocuous. He was even able to get up and have a moan at the referee about the foul he'd given away before he then went down again, tried to play on his knee, kept giving away, and he's had to have an operation. He's going to be out for 2 months. That's a huge loss. Jake Forster-Kaskou had a horrible injury nightmare last season. He's come in, found a place in the team at a left wing back or even left back, which he was last night, and performed well. He's out now for a few weeks because of the hamstring. Sam Field, he's been brilliant for us. Last night, again, he was really finding his feet. He's gone into an absolutely nothing challenge, injured. He's going to be out for a while. It looks like a nasty one, according to Lee Bowyer. There's so many more. Hemed's out. I've even heard that Amos might be out, which is why Maynard Brewer was on the bench. Yeah. So Amos is going to be out for a while by the sounds of it, possibly. I mean, it's incredible what's happened. I mean, Bob Liscombe's tweeting and saying, is George Lapsley out? As far as I know, yes, he is.
Yeah, he's got Hemed
was out last night. There's so many. I mean, like I said, we had this Josh Davison, who, with all due respect to him, we never heard of him a week ago before he signed from Enfield Town. I mean, it is a real crisis. It's one that we always seem to have at this club. It's one that's always going to happen when you have a slightly smaller squad. You're going to feel it more, and Bowie is really having to try and chop and change and desperately try and scramble together to put 11 men out at the moment.
The problem is, as well, is the players who are fit, and I've alluded to it already tonight, Chris Solly, someone who's had long term injury problems, can't play Saturday, Wednesday, or certainly doesn't want to play Saturday, Wednesday. Then you got more experienced players like Darren Prattley and Jason Pearce, who perhaps, I mean, Piercy less so, but Prattley in particular probably doesn't want to be playing Saturday, Wednesday. I mean, it's not good for his, you know, not good for him throughout the season to play like that. And that's the problem with the Championship, is that it gets so brutal in that respect. I mean, last season we'd have probably had to play during the international weekend. I know there was a couple of weekends we didn't have to because we had enough players away on duty, but usually in League 1, League 2, you don't have to play so many midweek, I felt like. Especially towards the end of last season, I didn't think we played hardly any midweek matches, which suited us, especially as we had a small squad. But yeah, this season just... And not... I mean, there are a couple of groin and hamstring injuries, but you look at some of them, like Fields and Williams in particular, it's two challenges. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's near enough the same injury, because it was the same sort of challenge, wasn't it, really? I mean, Williams was apparently guilty of a foul for that. I thought he got the ball, but they're similar injuries. And then, you know, we took a punt on Williams, and we know what his injury history is like, but I felt like over the summer he became a stronger player. You know, I think beforehand with Palace, and certainly with the start with us, he was picking up these little injuries, like he's missing the odd game because of a groin problem or hamstring problem. When you get a knee injury like that, that's not something you've done wrong.
It's just a freak. The same as last year when he had problems with his shoulders. I think he had dislocated shoulder at Sunderland. I mean, that's not a fitness thing. That just happens. It happens to me.
And Forster-Kaskou as well, someone who before last season was... Well, he played pretty much nearly every game for us. He played the whole season. Ben Amos started every single game for us last season. Suddenly he's got this potential injury. And it's players who are fit and players who are playing regularly who seem to just get so unlucky at the moment. And I feel like this club is some sort of curse, going back to Clive Mendonca and Andy Hunt. It's just bizarre.
I'm sure every club comes and goes through and says it at some point. We feel like we have a lot of injury, but it does feel bad. The only person I'm really worried about getting a groin injury, of course, is Lee Johnson. I mean, if he's there we go.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. right. I mean, just before we start to look ahead to West Brom, I mean, the only thing that we can say as a positive with these injuries is, you know, you triumph through adversity, Nath. And we have seen that last night. You know, when those two players went off, when Sandfield and Forster Kaski went off last night, and I did think it knocked our rhythm a little bit. Well, then at half time, we probably sat there and said, well, what's happened here? So we brought on Solly to play at left back out of position. Well, Forster Kaski was out of position anyway. And we brought on Prattley to replace Phil. So we've pretty much gone back to, you know, huge disappointment with the injuries, but like for like changes in that situation. And then we've gone and played well again. So, I mean, Bayard has been able to find some motivation still within his squad and to keep the morale up when things have gone against them.
Yeah, because I think all the players know their roles and what they've got to do. I just think the problem with the two injuries yesterday, I think we said it off air, is towards the end of the game, if you had another sub there, we could have sort of wasted a bit of time and, you know, try and shore it out a little bit. But we didn't have any more subs after Anike went on. So, but yeah, it's difficult, but everyone will come in. So even if Alfie does come in, you know, yeah, he's going to be inexperienced and in terms of, you know, Championship football or even League One. But they'll all know that, you know, Bo and Jacko, I'm sure, will get them all ready and they'll all put a shift in. They know their jobs and they work on the shape and stuff like they did all last week when they were saying about the derby formation. So, yeah, they'll all come in and they just have to patch it up because I don't think Matthews is fit either, is he?
No.
So, again...
I keep forgetting he exists, to be fair to the lad. I feel bad for him, but he's only played one game. But, yeah, that's another one who's out injured. Right, just before we start to focus a bit more on West Brom, I need to bring you a bit of information from Kenny Wilkins, who runs the club shop here. Don't be fooled by the rocks that he's got. He's still Kenny from the shop. Lyle Taylor is in the club shop on Friday between 5 to 6.30. You can go down and meet him. You're going to go and meet him, Stubbers? Give him to sign your chest.
I've still got... Kenny used to referee my five-a-side matches, so he gave a couple of penalties away against us, so I still need to go and see him and have a word about that. I'm not surprised he's booked you to me.
The descent as well.
Well, you can kill two birds with one stone there. You can go and meet Lyle Taylor and have words with Kenny in the club shop on Friday. So that's Friday. He'll be signing autographs between 5 and 6.30. Make sure you get down to the club shop. Right, West Brom is where we're headed on the weekend. The league leaders, no less, just to make things a lot easier for us, of course. I spoke to Joe Massey from the Express and Star, the local paper up there, to ask him how the fans are feeling after the start of the season. Unsurprisingly, they're pretty happy.
Yes, mate. Yeah, pretty well. I mean, to be honest, they're going not way better than anyone expected, but, I mean, that's... But obviously, everyone expected Albion to be up there, really, at the start of the season. They are one of the biggest clubs in the division, but whether they expected it to go quite this well is another thing. I mean, there was quite a big turnover of players in the summer. Lost some real big hitters in Jay Rodriguez and Dwight Gale, who basically they relied on for goals last season. They just relied on those two players. But over the summer, the recruitment was just absolutely outstanding. Sort of a mixture of picking players from the Championship, like Darnell Furlong and Romain Sawyers, who've just done really, really well. And then Sami Ajayi, centre-back from Rotherham. And then just sprinkling it with a little bit of magic, which is what they've really got in Mateus Pereira, who's on loan from Sporting Lisbon. But, I mean, being honest, he looks the best player in the division. He's an out-and-out number 10. But he's just absolutely magic to watch. He really is a wonderful footballer. And then Grady Diangana as well on the left wing, who Slaven Bilic sort of called in a favour from West Ham to get him on loan. And those two really, I mean, they are this opening spur of the season, they've looked too good for the division. They really have been. They really are something special. And then you throw in all the other good signings they've made, plus the experienced heads they've got with the likes of Jake Livermore and Sam Johnson as well, really, in goal. And the team is just very, very well balanced. And Bilic has just got them in playing in this really sort of attacking style where they're so entertaining to watch and they create just numerous chances.
Yeah, you mentioned Slaven Bilic as well, of course, coming in during the summer. How has he settled in at the club? Obviously, from the outside looking in, things seem to have gone well, but sometimes it can take a while for a manager to build a team in his image, but he seems to have pretty much got it sorted straight away.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves huge credit for that. When you think of like the amount of, I think it was 10 signings they made overall in the summer. It was a big turnover of players. Of course, he's a new manager, new ideas, for his first time in the Championship. But I mean, I honestly can't speak highly enough of him. Like, I mean, obviously speak to him at press conferences and after games, but you really couldn't meet a nicer bloke. He's so approachable. He's just so humble is the best way to describe him. No ego whatsoever. I mean, he's Slaven Bilic. Everyone in football knows him. But there's no ego at all. And he's just, in terms of his man management, it's just absolutely spot on straight away. The players, they just want to play for him. He's just the type of guy you want to play for. They're all running through brick walls for him. He's just fitted in seamlessly on and off the pitch. It feels like such a great fit with Slaven. So, yeah, I mean, it was a long, drawn-out process to get a manager in. It went on a little bit longer than fans would have liked. But in the end, he was definitely worth the wait, because so far, he just couldn't have done any better.
And after the heartbreak of losing in the playoff semi-finals last year, was there ever any remnants of a sort of hangover from that around the club in the summer? Or was it, do you think, with the major turnover, they were sort of able to put that behind them quite quickly?
Yeah, I think that helped them put it behind them quite quickly, really. And here's the Bilic factor. He is a complete breath of fresh air. The style's so different from last season. I didn't actually cover them last season, but from talking to fans, even when they won games by like fairly convincing scorelines, they were always on edge. They were, I can't think what the word is, but they weren't overly convincing. Mm. Whereas this season, you can be incredibly relaxed watching them, because you know they are going to create chances. They've just got too much going forward. Bilic plays this 4-2-3-1 system, and it's all about those three basically behind the striker, which when everyone's fit is Grady and Garner, Matheus Pereira and Matt Phillips. And those three players are just exceptional, really, at Championship level. And it's a strange thing to watch them, but I mean, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head now, because it's Championship and it seems like there's a game every day. But there was, I think they, at one stage, they come from behind to take points from 7 out of 8 games.
Mm.
Anyway, whatever it is, it's like really high number of games they've come back in. Like Tuesday night, for example, they were 2-0 down against Barnsley. They had Cardiff at home a couple of weeks ago. Huddersfield, when they fell behind again. But you sit there and you watch them, and you know they're going to get back into it, purely because of the amount of chances they create. So yeah, it's just that sort of hangover from last season. Everyone's just, the long thing of Albion is how long Tony Pulis was there and sort of that football, and fans got so tired of that. So to now have Slaven Bilic playing in this attacking way, fans are just enjoying it so much. Mm. So last season, to be honest, it's forgotten. Everyone has quickly moved on.
Yeah, and you mentioned that game against Barnsley in midweek. Obviously, Barnsley bottom of the league, but they came to the Hawthorns and got 2 goals ahead, and in the end were able to stop that 3-game winning run that West Brom had at home. What was it that Barnsley did that Charlton might want to try and do when we come to the Hawthorns on Saturday?
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I like Lee Bowyer. I followed his club career quite closely. I know he's very, very tactically astute. I know he freshens things up, doesn't he, tactically, to get the best out of the opposition. Well, to get the worst out of the opposition, really. But you know what I'm trying to say. But what Barnsley did was, and it's not happened to Albion this season really, was they basically played with a flat back five and then a couple of midfielders in front of them as well. They were just so defensive, and they just made sure that there was no space. It was absolutely, the middle of the park was so congested, Albion just couldn't play their little through balls, their little clever passes through the likes of Pereira and Dean Garner. And they just massively, massively frustrated them. It's as simple as that. They just had bodies in the way practically every time Albion came forward. I mean, the goals Barnsley scored were spectacular, really. First goal, really, really good header from Corley Woodrow. The second goal, screamer, 25-yard screamer. So they really, I mean, it was the typical sit back and hit on the counter. And they only really had two chances. Well, I mean, you can't even call the second goal a chance, but they took the goals really well. And that's how they got ahead. But yeah, obviously, Albion after the break, they got a bit of luck because the first goal they got back was an own goal. And then Pereira popped up quite late on to get the equaliser.
So how do you see Saturday's game going then? I guess West Brom will be looking to get back to winning ways.
Yeah, they'll be looking. It's interesting because the home form isn't as good as the away form. I think if you look at the away form, they've got the best away form in the division. I think home form, they're about seventh. But yeah, but I don't think anyone will underestimate Charlton. It looks like you've got quite a lot of injuries, and obviously Lecco and Field won't be able to be involved either. So I think if it's a tight game, Albion might fancy it the longer it goes in terms of like making changes and things. Albion will really be able to freshen it up. They've got a really strong bench. But the truth is, I wouldn't be surprised if Lee Bowyer came and did a job on them. It's just, I'm sure you will frustrate Albion. But I expect an Albion win just because of the quality of the likes of Pereira and Dean Garner. They're just so hard to stop, basically. And if Dean Garner has an off day, Pereira might be on it. If Pereira has an off day, Matt Phillips might be on it. Still got Charlie Austin in that mix. There's just so much up top that only takes one or two of them to click, and you do expect Albion to score goals.
So there we go. It does not get any easier by the sound of it. Joe there from the Express and Star. I mean, obviously West Brom are a good team, and they've started very well this season, and they've got a hell of a lot of, you know, former Premier League players in some cases, but they've got a hell of a lot of firepower going forward as well. But as I said there when I was chatting with Joe, you know, Barnsley went and did something on Tuesday evening to get a 2-goal lead, ended up finishing 2-2, but you know, this is the Championship, and if Barnsley, bottom of the league, had beaten West Brom, top of the league, that would have been the most Championship result of all time. I mean, teams are there to be got at no matter where they're sat in this league.
Yeah, I mean, they've been brilliant, West Brom. They're still unbeaten, and that shows that they've got that fight to, even when they're playing badly, to come out and still get a point. But look, let's not write this Charlton team off. Let's not doubt for any second that an injury crisis Charlton team could go to anywhere and get something from it. I do think it's going to be a bit more of a backs to the wall job on Saturday than it has been in previous matches. Indeed, I think it'll be more of a backs to the wall job than it was against Fulham and Leeds. And it's going to be a new challenge for us with these injuries to try and play through that. We're going to have to try and play perhaps a different style and perhaps play with a totally new formation. Who knows? But I mean, West Brom, you feel like will be a bit more jubilant after getting that late equaliser, because I know they can still come away with results. But equally, they should be disappointed. That's a side that's not got a manager at the moment. I'm correct, they've not appointed anyone since Stendhal left, have they?
Don't even think so.
So, you know, it's a team that's struggling this season, and they've still come and scored 2 goals to begin with. Yeah, they've thrown the lead away, but West Brom should be looking at it as some sort of concern. So I mean, be interested to see what we do with our injuries and how that's going to work.
Yeah. So unbeaten at home all season, West Brom in the league. They did lose at home to Millwall in the EFL Cup, so they are definitely gettable. Only one defeat all season in the league away at Leeds United, so it's taken a good team to go and beat them. I mean, we'll look at ourselves, Nath. I mean, it's a selection headache in terms of, I mean, how is Bowyer going to set up in a formation? How is he going to find the bodies to fill that formation? Because we are very light. I mean, for example, Berham Carr, I thought he did quite well. He did okay yesterday, actually, when he made his full debut. Obviously, I don't think he lasted but about an hour before he came off. So will he be fit enough to go for another hour minimum? We know we're missing Lecco. We know we're missing now Field as well, all the injuries that have come in. Will there be a start for Aaron Osttuma? Will there be a start for Chuck Sanike? A lot of questions there that Bowyer's going to have to try and find an answer for.
Yeah, there's quite a few. He's just trying to count the players. It weren't so long ago he was saying it was a nice headache to have with having everyone fit.
Yeah.
And now it's we're back to the norm of trying, you know, square pegs and round holes. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we set up. I still think, I don't think Chuck's a start. I think he'll, like Greg said earlier, I think he might start that little bit more defensive. Still take the game to him and try and catch him on a break. I don't think we're Bowes is ever going to park the bus. He's not one of them managers. But I think we'll probably try and nick something, a set piece or something like that. So yeah, I reckon I think Erhan might start. But yeah, I mean, for me, like Greg said, it's that left that left wing back position for me is a concern.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think that'll be? Solly then?
I would imagine it would be Solly and Deji. I would imagine.
Deji on the right hand side.
Unless, well, I know Ben wasn't that far away a couple of weeks ago, but I don't know if he's just not that fit yet, or they don't want to risk him. Is that why Alfie might come back?
You'd imagine
it's a big risk to put Alfie away at the top of the league, isn't it?
You'd imagine if he was fit, he would have been on the bench at least on yesterday. So yeah, I'm not too confident that Ben's going to be able to make it. I'm kind of with you. I think Souls will have to come in at left back again. I can't, unless we're going to play Naby Sarr there, or Doughty if he's going to be returning. But that's a bit of a risk if you ask me. I think if it wasn't against West Brom, I'd be tempted just to play Nabs there, Naby Sarr there, and play Piercy and Tom Lockyer as centre halves. But I think away from home, you're asking a lot for someone to play who's a centre half to play left back.
And obviously, we're lacking bodies in the team. Where we're not lacking bodies is in on the terraces. I mean, there's another sellout away end, and I mean, if the boys are going to need that support, aren't they? And I'll say it on Sunday show. The amount we took yesterday was so good. 1,300 on a Wednesday night to Bristol, and over 2,000 going, I think it is, or just under. Up to the Hawthorns, and every Poyer's team is going to need every single one of them. Right, let's have a look at some predictions then. Stubbly?
I reckon one all draw. I reckon we'll nick a point.
Bite your hand off for that right now. But I mean, we said that we're probably going to win 10-0 or something, but no.
I'm going to go with 0-0.
Yeah, see, we never ever predict a defeat on this show, do we? Yet sometimes we actually
lose. I was going to do that today, and I thought, you know what, I'm going
to... I was going to say, it's not what you're saying to me.
I think we'd be a defeat, but for the show, I'm going to say it's a draw.
Yeah, we've convinced you otherwise, I think.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Right, so, I mean, it doesn't work if you're trying to pretend that you're not predicting a defeat to then say it on the show. But anyway, we've run out of time on this evening's big match preview. Thank you to listening to us. I hope you've enjoyed our change of location. I hope you haven't really noticed, but for us, we're in this really small, hot room.
It's very warm.
We're all topless at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that is standard, to be fair, but we are topless.
Is that better than...
Yeah. More exciting then. Right, end of the show. Nathan, thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
Lovely. Cheers. Yeah,
and an absolute pleasure to have Value Pass commentator and friend of the show, Greg Stubbers, Stubbly on. Good to see you, Stubbers.
Good to be back, mate.
Excellent stuff. I've been Louis Meadows. I hope you've enjoyed this evening's big match preview. We'll be back here on Sunday to look back at whatever happens up at the Hawthorns. Let's hope it is some form of good result for the Addicts. We shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.